like using nets to go fishing. I wanted to explore that just because like we spend a lot of time repairing them, like, you know, getting all the knots out and stuff like that, and like, you know, wrapping them all back up, and then you put them back out on the water, and it's just a visual material where it's just like this kind of like invisible kind of material because it's so like it's so fine threaded or something like that. And then but I use nylon nets, which not necessarily the same thing, but it's the same structure. And then it just sort of ties in with just like my artistic aesthetic, where I kind of have this kind of minimalist modern kind of aesthetic to my work. And so I wanted to make a structure. I talk about it as like if you were underwater, and like what it would be like if you were the fish looking at this, like if you run into this object. And especially with the gallery, could be considered, like if you turned the lights down low, it could be like you were in a pool or underwater. And so I wanted to create this kind of atmosphere with this net. And then when you put light on a net, it sort of illuminates. So I kind of see that as how the sunlight shines through the water.
Yes.
And creates rays through the water and stuff like that. So it was very just kind of aesthetic and I don't know how you'd say, just...
Well, in keeping with your practice up till now, in that it is repetitious, you have all those knots in there, it's very manual, it's a tactile, it's all of those things, and yet it also seems to make a connection with identity, living, capturing things, just marvelous. That's an extraordinary project that I want to see as soon as you get it up. I want to go and see it.
Yeah, so yeah, it's a the one I'm making here is an alternate version of the original one, but it's sort of taken up the whole space, so it should be interesting how it works out.
So I'll get to see that tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Very good. You know, unfortunately, it's coming up on the end of the time here, so all I can say to you for that is chi 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 McGwitch, and I'll see you tomorrow night.
Hi everyone, Bob Phillips. I'm still here at the 007 exhibition, and Rebecca Belmore just walked in. How are you today, Rebecca?
I'm very well, thank you, and I'm not a spy.
Oh, that's too bad, because you are so good at observing things. Your work is does observe humanity. Have you been up to anything lately?
I just went to Kitchener-Waterloo and to London, Ontario to give artist talks to the public.
Oh, very good.
Yes.
Yes, very, very good. Well, you also, do you have any artwork that's happening lately, or?
In Toronto, on July 1st, I did a piece at Queen's Park.
Oh.
Where I used brown craft paper to wrap an old red oak tree, which might be like 150 years old. So we draped it in craft paper, and then eventually when we got to the bottom, I bound a First Nations woman and blended her into the tree.
Well, now that fits with a lot of your work from before, because the problems facing First Nations women is one of your primary focuses, I think, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I think that my piece on July 1st was this. I had this opportunity to make, to blend this idea of First Nations woman to a red oak tree, which is indigenous to Ontario, and in the context of Queen's Park, create her and the tree, like blend her and the tree, or meld her and the tree into a monument. Because there's so many monuments in Queen's Park that have nothing to do with First Nations history.
Absolutely nothing. I don't know of a single one in here.
Zero, I think. I don't know.
I can't think of any.
I walked around and I didn't see anything. So it was quite a beautiful thing.
Well, it seems to me that you're a First Nations woman from Ontario, is that correct?
Yes. I'm from northwestern Ontario, Thunder Bay area and Sulakout.
In a particular town?
I was born in Uppsala, Ontario.
Uppsala? It seems to me that I know a guy who came from Uppsala, a guy named Frank...
Shebagaget. Isn't he brilliant?
Just absolutely astounding.
His sculpture is so magnificent, so illuminating, so light, so lovely.
That piece that he has right now, which is a fishnet, it is so delicate, and as you say, the light goes through it. On the other hand, I had a chance to chat with him yesterday, and he was mentioning that you were one of the people that was a model for him that he could actually do artwork.
He's such a fine young man to acknowledge my presence. But I think that, you know, Frank is a great sculptor, and our families grew up together, and of course our lives were tied to fishing and hunting, and because we grew up in a rural, you know, rural setting. So I think it's great to see that Frank is drawing upon those experiences that we experience as families together and as children.
On the other hand, it seems to me that your work not only draws upon those family experiences, but the larger family experience, which is a national experience, the experience certainly of Native women, but also ideas or concepts that impact all people regardless of origin. Am I correct about that?
Exactly, because I think that as a First Nations person, I feel that I can comment on anything that has to do with global issues, like, for example, like global warming, all kinds of the issues that we face today as societies that live on this planet. So I'm hoping that even though I grew up in a small town of Uppsala, that I still have something to say about the world.
Well, the last time that I ran into you, it seems to me you were saying quite a bit about the world because you were throwing water against the wall, which was, it seems to me, symbolic of a breakwater outside of Cuba that actually faces the United States. Was that correct?
Well, it faced north, but I was thinking about, because I married a Cuban man, Oswaldo, who is my husband. He was in Cuba at the time that I was here in Toronto, and I was projecting water that crashes against the Malecón and outside in the city of Havana. I was projecting it against the power plant.
Yes.
Which has to do with water as well.
Exactly.
So it's all this idea of water. Anyways, it's a long story. I can't put it together right now.
Well, the symbolism that comes from your work is absolutely astounding, and especially when you talk about the problems facing Native women. I remember that beautiful piece where you nailed a beautiful red dress to a telephone pole out in Vancouver, I believe.
Yes.
And then what happened? I think you yelled the names of murdered women.
Yes. Actually, the beautiful red dress was purchased from the Salvation Army.
Oh.
So I think it's interesting, like, how in a city, any city in Canada, you can actually find incidents of violence against women. So basically that piece was about violence against women and the murder of women who are deemed are viewed as being worth less than the average Canadian. And so, thank God, at that time, Robert Picton was charged finally, after years and years, like a whole decade or more. And for me to yell the names of the women, to call out the names of the women, was just a very kind of, you know, personal, modest way of trying to articulate that moment in history in an artwork. So it's the best that I could do in that moment, you know, in that city.
I can't think of anyone that could do it any better.
Well, I thank you very much, and Chi McGwich.
Thank you very much.
Rebecca Belmore is an absolutely astounding artist that I have had the pleasure of interviewing before. And she did a piece back in 1991 called Creation or Death, We Will Win. That was part of the fourth Biennale in Havana, Cuba. And I really find that to be an extraordinary, extraordinary piece. As a matter of fact, if you Google Rebecca Belmore, you'll find her own website, and under performances, if you scroll down, you'll come up to Creation or Death, We Will Win. And I really recommend that you go to that website and have a look at this, because it is an astounding, astounding piece. I thought that what I would do is close this section out with a brief excerpt of a much earlier interview that I did with her when we were talking about the piece, Creation or Death, We Will Win. And so listen to this piece and then do yourself a favor and go to the website and have a look at it, because it is an absolutely astounding work.
You did an extraordinary piece in Havana, Creation or Death. We Will Win.
Yes. That was back in the 90s, I did that, in the early 90s.
1991.
Yes.
You know, in looking at that, I mentioned already that my past was one that was somewhat separated from community.
Mm-hmm.
And time and time again, every time that I would begin to climb a flight of stairs, someone would push me back. And it would be through just sheer determination and effort that I would continue on.
Yes.
That piece, which essentially was you were bound hand and foot.
And gagged.
And gagged because the yells were... Well, you did extraordinarily well. And then to move that earth in a straight line up the stairs and then have to go back for another handful and back up to the top again. And then finally where the screen became a screen of victory as opposed to one. One of the things that I found amazing was that the dominant society was standing around watching you. They weren't helping. They were just sort of standing around, which is exactly the way my life has progressed. Mm-hmm. And so you would be amazed at just how powerful your work is. I'm sure a lot of artists don't think of themselves from the standpoint of the people that watch.